File 1. No adverts from audiobooksforfree.com.
The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Chapter 1. Estimates. War is a matter of vital importance to the state, a matter of life or death, the road either to survival or to ruin. Hence, it is imperative that it be studied thoroughly. Therefore, appraise it in terms of the five fundamental factors and make comparisons of the various conditions of the antagonistic sides in order to ascertain the results of a war. The first of these factors is politics. The second, weather. The third, terrain. The fourth, the commander. And the fifth, doctrine. Politics means the thing which causes the people to be in harmony with their ruler, so that they will follow him in disregard of their lives and without fear of any danger. Weather signifies night and day, cold and heat, fine days and rain, and change of seasons. Terrain means distances, and refers to whether the ground is traversed with ease or difficulty, and to whether it is open or constricted, and influences your chances of life or death. The commander stands for the general's qualities of wisdom, sincerity, benevolence, courage, and strictness. Doctrine is to be understood as the organization of the army, the gradations of rank among the officers, the regulation of supply routes, and the provision of military materials to the army. These five fundamental factors are familiar to every general. Those who master them win. Those who do not are defeated. Therefore, in laying plans, compare the following seven elements, appraising them with the utmost care. 1. Which ruler is wise and more able? 2. Which commander is more talented? 3. Which army obtains the advantages of nature and the terrain? 4. In which army are regulations and instructions better carried out? 5. Which troops are stronger? 6. Which army has the better trained officers and men? 7. Which army administers rewards and punishments in a more enlightened and correct way? By means of these seven elements, I shall be able to forecast which side will be victorious and which will be defeated. The general who heeds my counsel is sure to win. Such a general should be retained in command. One who ignores my counsel is certain to be defeated. Such a one should be dismissed. Having paid attention to my counsel and plans, the general must create a situation which will contribute to our accomplishment. By situation, I mean he should take the field situation into consideration and act in accordance with what is advantageous. All warfare is based on deception. Therefore, when capable of attacking, feign incapacity. When active in moving troops, feign inactivity. When near the enemy, make it seem that you are far away. When far away, make it seem that you are near. Hold out baits to lure the enemy. Strike the enemy when he is in disorder. Prepare against the enemy when he is secure at all points. Avoid the enemy for the time being when he is stronger. If your opponent is of choleric temper, try to irritate him. If he is arrogant, try to encourage his egotism. If the enemy troops are well prepared after reorganization, try to wear them down. if they are united, try to sow dissension among them. Attack the enemy where he is unprepared and appear where you are not expected. These are the keys to victory for a strategist. It is not possible to formulate them in detail beforehand. Now, if the estimates are made before a battle indicates victory, it is because careful calculations show that your conditions are more favorable than those of your enemy. If they indicate defeat, it is because careful calculations show that favorable conditions for a battle are fewer. With more careful calculations, one can win. With less, one cannot. How much less chance of victory has one who makes no calculations at all? By this means, one can foresee the outcome of a battle. Chapter 2. Waging War. In operations of war, when 1,000 fast four-horse chariots, 1,000 heavy chariots, and 1,000 mail-clad soldiers are required, when provisions are transported for 1,000 li, when there are expenditures at home and at the front, and stipends for entertainment of envoys and advisers, the cost of materials such as glue and lacquer, and of chariots and armor, will amount to 1,000 pieces of gold a day. 100,000 troops may be dispatched only when this money is in hand. A speedy victory is the main object in war. If this is long in coming, weapons are blunted and morale depressed. If troops are attacking cities, their strength will be exhausted. When the enemy engages in protracted campaigns, the resources of the state will fall short. When your weapons are dulled and ardor dampened, your strength exhausted and treasure spent, the chieftains of the neighboring states will take advantage of your crisis to act. In that case, no man, however wise, will be able to avert the disastrous consequences that ensue. Thus, while we have heard of stupid haste in war, we have not yet seen a clever operation that was prolonged. For there never has been a protracted war which benefited a country. Therefore, those unable to understand the evils inherent in employing troops are equally unable to understand the advantageous ways of doing so. Those adept in waging war do not require a second levy of conscripts or more than two provisionings. They carry military equipment from the homeland, but rely on the enemy for provisions. Thus, the army is plentifully provided with food. When a country is impoverished by military operations, it is due to distant transportation. Carrying supplies for great distances renders the people destitute. Where troops are gathered, prices go up. When prices rise, the wealth of the people is drained away. When wealth is drained away, the people will be afflicted with urgent and heavy exactions. With this loss of wealth and exhaustion of strength, the households in the country will be extremely poor and 7/10 of their wealth dissipated. As to government expenditures, those due to broken down chariots, worn out horses, armor and helmets, bows and arrows, spears and shields, protective mantles, draft oxen and wagons will amount to 60% of the total. Hence, a wise general sees to it that his troops feed on the enemy, for one zong of the enemy's provisions is equivalent to 20 of one's own, and one shi of the enemy's fodder to 20 shi of one's own. In order to make the soldiers courageous in overcoming the enemy, they must be roused to anger. In order to capture more booty from the enemy, soldiers must have their rewards. Therefore, in chariot fighting, when more than 10 chariots are captured, reward those who take the first. Replace the enemy's flags and banners with your own, mix the captured chariots with yours, and mount them. Treat the prisoners of war well and care for them. This is called winning a battle and becoming stronger. Hence, what is valued in war is victory, not prolonged operations. And the general who understands how to employ troops is the minister of the people's fate and arbiter of the nation's destiny.